before I give the sermon, for those who were not here yesterday for the blessing of the church and the Mass, we'd like to extend a very heartfelt thank you for all of those who have helped out with regard to your donations to help acquire the church, your helping to move, and any work that has been done within the church and the premises here. We'd like to thank you for that and also congratulate you. A lot has been accomplished, and we really appreciate it. Every Sunday when we come to Mass, there's a theme that the church wants us to think about, reflect on, and then when we leave church, to take it with us. So what do you think is the theme for this Sunday? Well, we have in the Gospel the beautiful story of the wedding feast of Cana. All of us have been to weddings before, been to wedding receptions. And what do you mainly see? Well, of course, you have people having a great time, focusing on the bride and groom and visiting each other. And times have not changed. As we go to wedding receptions today, they were very much the same as the wedding reception that Christ and his mother went to, celebrating, people occupied and busy with visiting, etc. But one thing we see in the Gospels sometimes, when we look carefully, I should say, we see something deeper. What does the Gospel for today teach us about Jesus' mother, the mother of Jesus? What does it teach us? She was a charitable and kind person. She notices a very embarrassing moment about to take place. Running out of wine at a wedding feast is not a good thing. And that was a common drink. This would have been an embarrassment for the bride and bride if they didn't make enough provisions. And Mary notices this in the midst of everybody carrying on and talking and visiting, and etc. She notices this is happening, and she wants to do something about it. She goes to Jesus, and the amazing thing is this. Jesus tells her, my hour has not yet come. But she very confidently tells the attendants, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus works his first miracle at her request. When we look at the situation, we see how Christ took heed to his mother's request and began his very first public miracle. And as we read in the Gospel, and his disciples believed in him. He worked a miracle, changing water into wine. Now the amazing thing is that this was the first of many miracles that Christ had done. But it was really a miracle of charity to save the bride and groom on this special occasion. There's another occasion that the church focuses on in the Gospel of St. Luke, when the angel Gabriel had been sent by God to Mary to announce that she was to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. The angel also said, and your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, because no word should be impossible with God. Mary heard those words. And what did we read right after the Annunciation? Mary went with haste. Her cousin Elizabeth was with child, elderly, certainly needed a lot of help. And Mary, once again, we read in Scripture, she went with haste. Her cousin needed her help. She didn't dilly-dally. She went right to the place. And there she spent 3 months taking care of her cousin Elizabeth. She's the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. She's carrying Christ in her sacred womb. And yet, it wasn't like it was beyond her to show charity and kindness and to become like a servant to her cousin Elizabeth. These are wonderful examples for all of us to remind ourselves that of all the virtues that Christ wants us to be known as his followers, the number one virtue is charity. Whatever we do to the least of the brethren we've done to Christ. As you know, I like to tell stories. And back in 1999, I was coming up here with the sisters, at that time Sister Agnes and Sister Josepha, to get the school started. I was driving out from Omaha to Iowa to the convent to have Mass. And then from there, pick up the sisters, going to drive up here and have a meeting with the families that wanted to start a school. And some of you adults, you were just little kids at the time. What does that have to do with Zoom? Nothing. Just tell me how quick the time goes by. However, as I got off the interstate, there was a station wagon parked on the side of the road. Flash was going on. I pulled up, rolled down the window, asked, do you need any help? The lady inside, she said, yeah, I have a flat tire, don't have a spare. I said, well, there's a tire shop in Persia. It's like 2-3 miles down the road. I'm sure they have tires. I'd give you a ride if you don't mind. She said, sure. She got in and she was just driving her husband to work. That was her only car. Had a flat tire, no spare. So I said, here's the tire shop right here. I'm sure they're open. If not, they're open anytime now. So I went on to the convent, just about a mile out of Persia, Iowa, out in the country, had Mass. Driving with the sisters, we go through Persia again, and I see this woman standing on the side of the road. And I thought, that's the woman I just picked up this morning, got a flat tire, didn't have a spare. So I rolled the window down, and I said, did they get your tire? She says, no, they don't have a used tire my size. So we wanted to find out, well, if there was a tire, whatever, we went in. Make a long story short, went in. I asked, do you have any brand new tires that size? She said, oh yeah, brand new tires we did, but not used tire. So I said, well, I'll pay for her tire. Let's just get this done, because she needs to get home. She can't just, you know, she has no options. So when I was opening my wallet to pay cash, I saw her open up her purse, and it was pretty slim, that purse. And she only had one bill, 20. I said, keep it. You keep that for gas. I got this one. Now the amazing thing is, the guy said, yeah, we have the tire. And I said, now would you do the kindness of changing that tire for her? Because, you know, it's wintertime and it's not easy for her to do that. Oh yeah, we'll take care of it. Don't worry. And I said, appreciate that. And she said, thank you. I said, no problem at all. Got in the vehicle. We got on our way. I told the sisters, I said, you know, the money is not important. She needed help. And if we did it for her, we did it for Christ. Now I got back from Minnesota, and it's probably like this, I think it was on a Monday that we left, and I got back on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And there was a family visiting from out of town. They wanted to stop at the rectory, and they handed me an envelope. So, oh, this is a little donation for you. I said, oh, thanks a lot. And I just put it on my desk, didn't even notice it. After the long day went by, before I went to bed, I thought, I wonder how much they gave. Opened up the envelope. They gave me 100 times what I gave that woman. It was like, I don't know, close to $6,000. And, you know, that was 100 times what I paid for that tire. I thought, whoa. God gives us in return, not that we look for it or whatever. So the next morning I talked to the seminarians about, you know, acts of charity, and I told them how I got 100 times back what I gave for that tire. One of the seminarians raised his hand and said, you should have given her more. No, it don't work that way. But let's remember the example that Christ gave us. He loved us to give his life for us, to die on the cross to redeem us. Greater love than this no man hath. And our Lord suffered for us because he loved us. So when we think of the virtue of charity, it's not just some nice thing that we think about once in a while, or we hear in a sermon, but it's something we need to incorporate into our lives. And I firmly believe God gives us opportunities. Every day He gives us opportunities to practice charity. But sometimes we're just so preoccupied with what we're doing and what we're all about that we miss those opportunities. We forget to look out for others. And so when we look at the gospel for today, John chapter 2, the wedding feast of Cana, Mary reminds us how she was attentive to the needs of others. Let's not let opportunities slip through our fingers. And I'd like to share one thing with you, and that is, as we've told you before, I don't come up here very often, just randomly, you know, maybe a dozen times a year, not even that, maybe 8-9 times a year. And I always think in the back of my mind, you know, some of you, my visit might be the last visit I have with some of you. So I always try to say, treat everyone with kindness, make the most of it. Have you ever received news that someone died? Someone, maybe a relative or maybe a friend of yours or an acquaintance, and you think, what was the last thing I said to them? What was the last thing I did with them? And we want to live our lives without any regrets. Meaning, appreciate one another, love one another, be kind to one another. Don't let little unimportant grudges get between you and someone else and you carry that grudge. What a waste of time. Reminded me, I was on a Southwest Airlines flight. I don't know where I was going, but I remember this flight attendant. She's probably in her 60s. And she was just so upbeat. I just couldn't believe it. So when she asked me what I wanted to drink, I said, I gotta tell you, you are so upbeat. You're having too much fun and getting paid for this, ma'am. You had too much fun. And she smiled and she whispered, she said, I had stage 4 cancer and God was good to me and put in remission. And you know, I'm gonna enjoy life and I'm not gonna sweat the little stuff. And she says, everything's the little stuff. She was facing, you know, the probability, real probability of dying. But she prayed and, you know, when it went into remission, she was very grateful for that. She thought, I'm going to live life differently. The things that were so important and so, I had to get this and I had to get that done are not important. And I'm going to enjoy, as a flight attendant, I'm going to enjoy the people I serve. I'm going to be really happy. And I'm not going to let things get under my skin, let me be angry or upset. Not worth it. And how oftentimes, you know, we need those reminders. Sometimes things happen, we get so bent out of shape, we get so upset. But if you calm down and have a moment of reflection, not that important in the general scheme of things. But let us remember this. We are all members of Christ's church, the mystical body of Christ, as we read of in the sacred scriptures, St. Paul. The mystical body of Christ, we're a spiritual family. And of all the people that we should be charitable to, it should be the members of our family, you know, our immediate family, and then our spiritual family, that we practice that virtue of charity and kindness and forgiveness. I can tell you one last story. It's a long story, but I got to make it real fast, because I'm going to end in 2 minutes. Don't look at your watches. There was a great tragedy that happened, I think it was 1996 or 97. One of our students at Mount St. Michael's, his name was Patrick Schindler, got killed in a car accident. He was 17 years old, really good kid. He drove to school with his car, and two of his friends wanted to get a drive home with him. So he gave his two friends who went to school to drive home. Neither of these two friends were Catholic, though. But one friend insisted, I'd like to drive your car. Come on, could I just one time? I got a driver's license, I can drive, I'm a good driver, I'm careful. Okay, Patrick gave the keys. So Patrick was in the front seat, passenger side, his friends driving the car, and we wheel, and the other boy is on the back seat, right side behind Patrick. They were going up a hill, and it was raining really profusely, just a downpour, and they hydroplaned. The car swerved like this, and they got T-boned, hit by a truck. Patrick got killed instantly. The boy in the back seat got killed instantly. The driver, he got banged up, but he survived. I flew back to that funeral. I had the funeral. And I'll never forget, God rest her soul, Lynn Schindler, before they closed the casket, I remember, never forget how Lynn put her head on her son's chest and just sobbing. She was really souring at the loss of her son. We went to the cemetery, had the funeral, burial service, all the prayers, etc., and I left. I didn't know what happened afterward. But both Jim and Lynn Schindler, the parents, as they were about to leave the gravesite, they noticed that boy that was driving the car, way in the back with his parents. And they ran right up to them. Lynn Schindler hugged the boy and said, "We don't hold this against you, it was an accident." And she says, "We're so happy, we're so glad that nothing happened to you, that you're still alive." That act of charity and forgiveness meant so much to that boy, he converted and became a Catholic. Amazing story of forgiveness. You know, some people can be like, "Oh, that kid, he's responsible for killing my son, and I can't stand and look at him, I'm going to hold this against him," but no. I remember hearing the story, and I later on gave the young man confirmation, he got confirmed. But was that an easy thing for the Schindler's sister and Mrs. Jim and Lynn Schindler to do? Probably not. But they didn't allow their emotions to get out of control, and it was their faith that realized it was an accident. The kid feels pretty lousy. His two friends got killed, and he was ashamed. He was out on the outskirts. He went to the funeral, but he was on the outskirts of the crowd. And they didn't hesitate, bypassed everybody else to go right up to that kid and make sure he understood. They don't hold anything against him. They're glad that nothing happened to him, and they gave him a big hug. So it shows the power of forgiveness, the power of being charitable and kind. And you know, oftentimes all it takes is just to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You know, how would I feel if there was an accident and somebody that was in my vehicle when I was driving got killed? But it was an amazing thing that act of charity was his moment of grace to think, man, there's something to this church, there's something to this religion. And that is, my dear friends in Christ, how important it is if we want people to come to the knowledge of Christ's church, then we have to set that example of charity. By this will all men know we are his followers because we love one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.